is a discussion from the Alter Rebbe, the author of Tanya, about the special quality of the relationship between the Jewish nation and Hashem during the holiday of Sukkot, which we are right now. And the discourse, the essay is, the title of the essay is Usha'afte Mayim Bisason, which means you will draw water with joy, with happiness. A pasuk, a verse, that talks about the special activity that happened on Sukkot. Every day, there is a mitzvah in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple, to bring karban, to bring an offering. Each animal offering that was brought, the Torah also says that it is a mitzvah to pour wine together with the offering. So they would slaughter the animal, whatever the animal was. They would take parts of the animal, and again, that's described in the Chumash, which parts, some animals the entire, some parts, and they would pour wine together with the animal offering, together with the meat of the animal. On the holiday of Sukkot, and that was only during the holiday of Sukkot, the tradition that was received from the time of Moshe, and it doesn't say it clearly in the Chumash, as opposed to the, everything else that's clearly prescribed in the Chumash, it doesn't say this following thing in the Chumash, but the tradition from the time of Moshe was that in addition to offering the animal, and in addition to pouring wine, they should also pour water, just plain water. This is called Nisuch HaMayim, the pouring of water. And where would they get the water from? So again, the tradition was that they would take the water from a stream that flows outside Yerushalayim. It's called the Shiloach stream. And that stream is a certain distance, not too far away, but it's a certain distance down the mountain. If you ever went to the Kotel and you take a look at the Kotel as you're facing the Kotel is the western wall. So if you look at the southern wall, if you're standing on the southern wall, there are steps going down. And a lot of times the tour groups sit there and they discuss and they take a look and whatever it is. So that on the southern wall, you take a look and you can from there see the valley where they would go down those steps and go down. Today, the city of David, Ir David, is there on the way. All the excavations of King David's city. And they would start a march, a procession. This was an amazing, amazing, joyous celebration. They would start, meaning the Kohanim and all the dignitaries of Yerushalayim would start a procession. And when it came the evening time, they would march and they would sing. And it was a very slow procession because they were jumping and dancing and singing. And eventually they would reach down to the Shiloach, to the stream. They would draw the water from the Shiloach in pitchers. And then they would march back up. The entire procession took a whole night. They would dance down, draw the water, dance up till whole night, and they would get back up in the morning. And this was done every night of Sukkot. They never used to sleep. The Gemara says that people just plain didn't sleep. Obviously, you can't go a week without sleeping. So they would, you know, take a nap standing up or whatever, lying down for a few minutes. But they didn't go to sleep in a bed a whole week. And this was called Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Simchas Beit HaShoeva, the joy of the drawing of the water. Very big deal. The Gemara says, whoever didn't see this celebration has never witnessed the celebration, has never witnessed real joy if you haven't been at the Simchas Beit HaShoeva, at this whole procession of drawing the water. The Alter Rebbe has a maimer, a discourse, where the Alter Rebbe explains to us in deeper terms, in mystical terms also, what does it mean, pouring water? Why is it so joyous? And why was the pouring of the water specifically not even written clearly in the Chumash? It's something that we have by tradition from Moshe. And so much so that, in fact, that there were certain Jews who did not believe in the tradition, who refused to do that. Obviously a minority, but that's, they were called the Tzedukim, the Sadducees. And what is the concept of the drawing of water? So Alter Rebbe explains to us that there is a difference in the relationship that we have with Hashem the entire year in general versus the relationship that we have with Hashem during the holiday of Sukkot. Specifically because Sukkot comes after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Alter Rebbe says there is a love for Hashem that's called a love that's a fiery love. And then there's a love for Hashem that is called a love that is a love like water. Which one is more powerful, a fiery love or a love that's compared to the love of water? Paradoxically, it would seem that fire is more powerful than water, but we know that that's not true. We know that water puts out fire. So in fact, water smothers fire. Water is more powerful than water. Water is more powerful than fire. And therefore, the love that's called Ava Kirishpe Esh, which is Hebrew for meaning love for Hashem, that's like a burning fire, is not as powerful as the love that's called Ava Kimayim, that love like water. What's the difference? Ava Kirish Bayesh, the love of fire, is a love of longing, a love of desire, whereas Ava Kimayim is a love of satisfaction, a love of having your deepest desires, your Ava Kirish Bayesh, fulfilled. So, different between the relationship. The relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem the entire year is a relationship of longing. What does that mean? If we truly meditate on the power of spirituality and we meditate on the temporary nature, and in fact, the obstacle nature of the materialistic world, how the materialistic world is necessary but a block to really attaining a spiritual level. So again, the materialistic world is not to be denigrated, not to be put down, but because it's a creation of Hashem, but it takes work. It takes work to take the fuel and to turn it into something, to take the raw material, the raw energy, and to turn it into something positive in general. And the same is true of our whole existence. We have to take the blessings that Hashem gives us a whole year round, and we have to work on them. We have to show that really we recognize it comes from Hashem, and we recognize that the money that we're earning is not just for our own personal benefit, but it's for doing mitzvahs, for giving tzedakah, for helping our family, for bigger purposes, for helping our community, and so on. It's not just for making ourselves personally satisfied. We have to show that everything in our life is used for a higher and more noble purpose. It's easy to get stuck in the mud, you know, and think that the mud is the purpose. So therefore, during the whole year, we have this sense of longing. We have a sense of, oh, yeah, I wish I could have some peace of mind. I wish I could have some time to meditate, to reflect, to feel the spirituality instead of just being in the rat race, instead of just chasing my tail and doing and working. And even Shabbos and Yontif in the middle of the year, we barely have time to catch our breath, and Shabbos is over already and we're working and we're still in the middle of the year. Comes Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur put us on a different level. And because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, if we properly prepare and we properly meditate and we properly focus on the words of the davening and the concepts of Rosh Hashanah and then the concepts of Yom Kippur, we're on a different place. We're in a different place, like saying, you know, it takes how many days does it take to go on vacation? What's the optimal number of days? They don't go for less than 3 or 4 days. Why? It takes you a day till you calm down from the flight. It takes you another day until you're happy with your hotel room. Another day till you decompress. And 3-4 days later, finally, you feel like you're on vacation, you're a different state of mind. So it's a different, we are lifted out. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur lift us out of the ordinary, put us into a place our heads are in a different place. And therefore, come Sukkot, we are not anymore in the state of longing. We are in a state of being satisfied, a state of having arrived. We've made it. Again, assuming that we went through all the steps. Obviously, if you're not doing anything for Hashanah and not doing anything for Kippur, nothing happens automatically. But assuming we've gone through the steps, Hashem has given us in the Torah, through the Torah, all of these steps that then bring us on the holiday of Sukkot to a recognition, to a realization. In the words of the Alter Rebbe, to a state of prophecy, a state of nevuah, a state where, just like the ancient prophets had a certain heightened sensitivity, a certain heightened appreciation for Hashem's presence that the ordinary person didn't have. And the reason was very simple. They did the preparation. They would meditate, they would study, they would learn, they would pray. They were doing different things. So the Nevi'im in ancient times, the prophets in ancient times, were able to open themselves up to become channels for the spiritual energy, to become more sensitive to spirituality. And then they got messages from Hashem. The same is true, the Alter Rebbe says, for each of us on the holiday of Sukkot. And that's why we had this joy with drawing of water. The drawing of the water is symbolic, it's again, this is all theater. This is all, you know, symbolism, putting us into the right state of mind and the right state of spirit. The drawing of water means that we have worked through the levels of feeling far, and now we're feeling close. In the language of Tehillim, the language of the psalm that we say now, there's the chapter of Tehillim that we say every single day from the month of Elul, beginning of the month of Elul, all the way until the end of Sukkot. And that is Psalm 27, chapter 27. It starts with David, Hashem, Ori V'Ishi, a psalm for King David. God is my salvation. God is my light. And in that psalm, it says, and it refers to, the reason we say this psalm is because it talks about the month of Elul, talks about Rosh Hashanah, talks about Yom Kippur. Again, poetically, doesn't overtly mention the word Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. But poetically, it refers to these times. And it refers to the time of Sukkot as a time of, in the language of Tehillim, Yimino, his right hand, Tichabkeni, hugs me. Hashem's right hand hugs me. And this is a metaphor. The right hand is the hand that draws close in metaphor in the language of the Torah. The left is something that is a little not as open, not as close, not as felt, whereas the right is considered to be close and felt and open. Yimino techabkeni, Hashem's right hand hugs me. What that means is, it's a metaphor and it's a little bit of poetic language for saying that we feel the closeness, we feel the energy, we feel Hashem's presence. We are no longer in a state, we're not in a state of wanting, we're in a state of having received. Totally different state of mind. Now, this discourse from the Alter Rebbe used to repeat very often. As a matter of fact, the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitch Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe's grandson, who became the third Rebbe eventually, says a very famous quote where the Rebbe quotes this in his book, Hayom Yom, where the Rebbe has a short saying for every day quoted from the works of his father-in-law, the previous Rebbe, the sixth Rebbe. So the Rebbe quotes there what the third Rebbe said, that he heard this maimer, this discourse, six times already. The Alter Rebbe had said the same discourse over the years, obviously not in one time, would repeat these concepts that we're discussing right now. And he said, every single time we heard this discourse, we felt as if the heavens were opening up and we were experiencing prophecy. That's what the Alter Rebbe is talking about. The Rebbe is talking about this idea that we have the capacity to, by working through the steps of Rosh Hashanah, Elul, and then Rosh Hashanah, and then Yom Kippur, we have the capacity to open ourselves to the extent that we have the sensitivity for spiritual energy that the prophets had, that the Nevi'im had. So therefore, this, of course, is a time of great joy. The time of Sukkot is a time of incredible joy. And the joy is called the joy of water. It's straight. It doesn't have any other flavor except straight spirituality, straight holiness. So this is a Rebbe also tells us, of course, in this verse, Now, where do we have this? How do we work through this today? The answer is through davening, through the Shmona Esrei, and also through studying Torah. So if we daven, and during our davening, we have a little bit of a focus, or even especially a lot of focus, we try to focus to the best of our ability. And then after davening, we open up some book and we learn the Chumash, we learn some Torah thought in this spirit of the davening, then we have this sensitivity. That is what helps us. That's what helps our neshama. And that's what makes the water, meaning the love that we have for Hashem, it transforms it from ordinary into what's called mayim chayim, living waters. Living waters means waters that are spring waters connected to a source. Because even water itself, you can have water that's disconnected water, water that's in a bucket, water that's in a swimming pool, water that's in your sink, or you could have water that's flowing straight from the ground, fresh water that's flowing and connected to its source, spring water. And that is what this time of year does for us. So therefore, the holiday of Sukkot, we spoke about this on Friday, the holiday of Sukkot is, in fact, a culmination, a result, a continuation of the energies of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And when we properly prepare ourselves during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, come Sukkot, we're on a completely different level. We're on the level not of Ava Karish Be'esh, which is fire, a fiery love, a love that we want to be so close to Hashem, but it's Ava Kimayim, a love of water. We've arrived, we've gotten there. We have reached the levels that we are seeking. We're at a completely different level, the level of prophecy, the level of Nevuah. So that is more or less the talk that the Rebbe gives. Sha'aftem Mayim Besasso. A lot of other concepts, obviously, but this is a synopsis. So this is Sukkot. Coming after Sukkot is the holiday of Shemini Atzeres. And the holiday of Shemini Atzeres, which we're going to be celebrating in Mirtz Hashem Shabbos, this Friday night in Shabbos, we'll talk about on Friday more, Mirtz Hashem, is the holiday where the uniqueness of the Jewish neshama is brought out, and that's why we have Simchas Torah also on Shemini Atzeres, which again is the mechanism for us Jews, the Yisrael, the Jewish nation, to be united with Kudsh Brichu, with Hashem, through what's called Oraisa de Torah. And the Zohar makes this comment that the three are three intertwined rings: Hashem, the Jewish people, and the Torah. Without any beginning or end, we are three intertwined rings. We're connected on a very mystical level. And this is what's going to be experienced, again, as a culmination, as a continuation, as a result of Sukkot. So Rosh Hashanah puts us on a certain level, Yom Kippur then on another level, Sukkot on another level, and it all climaxes, it comes to a head with Simchas Torah, the day of great joy, when we dance with the Torah, when the Torah is closed, we don't even open the Torah because we're connected with the Torah on such a level. That's a fundamental, intrinsic level, a basic level. It's not even according to how much we understand, how little we understand, whether we understand or we don't understand. It's a neshama level. We're connected with the energy of Torah, and that every Jew is always connected. Whether we learn Torah, whether we didn't learn Torah, whether we understand the Torah we learn, we don't understand the Torah we learn. That's the source of our energy. Like saying a child who doesn't know their parents. Are you your parents' child? Of course you are. Do you have your parents' DNA? Of course you do. You never met your parents for whatever reason. Maybe your parents passed away, God forbid, before you died. Maybe, who knows, whatever reason. You never knew your parents. Doesn't make a difference. You're a child of your parents. That's your source. That's where you come from. And the Jewish nation, the neshamas of the Jews, are a direct source, direct connection with Torah. Whether we know Torah, we don't know Torah, of obviously the Torah is ours to know and ours to it's our inheritance, as we say in the Torah, which we're about to read, actually, the last parsha, Zosa Bracha. We read in the Zosa Bracha, the famous pasuk, the famous verse that says, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, the Torah that Moshe gave us, Morasha is an inheritance for Kehilas Yaakov, for the entire community of Israel, of Yaakov. The Torah is on our inheritance. And that's what we are celebrating, essentially, this fire, this relationship that has entered into our bones. So as opposed to fire, that is something you have to stay away from, water permeates, water enters. And that's, again, the metaphor, the poetry, the beauty of the language that we're using now, that we are in a state of Ava Kemayim. It's entered, it's permeating, we're feeling it, we're on a different level than the rest of the year. Again, whether we actually feel it or not, that depends on us, but it's there for the feeling. These levels are available to us during this time of year in a way that is not as readily available. Great tzaddikim, obviously a different story, but is not readily available for the ordinary Jew during the rest of the year. During this time of year, it's available for all of us. So this is a little thought for today. And I think that we'll continue with Tanya.